I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I can to see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
Father, a day like today is only given meaning and purpose because you are the God of the living and the dead. You are the eternal God. And it is that prospect of eternity with you beyond death that gives us hope as we remember. Please would you enable us now to listen with faith and with humility as your word speaks to us of the hope that we can have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, today on Remembrance Sunday, one of the things that we're doing is celebrating a virtue that is articulated for us a little earlier in our passage in chapter 2 of Philippians. If you look back to verse 3 in chapter 2 on page 1179, just before the part that Jack started reading for us. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Those who are willing to risk their lives for others, and especially those who have lain down their lives for others, embody this virtue. They are those who do not and did not look to their own interests, but to the interests of others, to the interests of us, the ones that they were fighting for, the ones that they were defending. To help us understand that virtue, and not just admire it in others, but emulate it in our own lives, we're given in our reading for today two named individuals who also embodied this virtue, looking to the interests of others. A man called Timothy and a man called Epaphroditus. Putting names to virtues helps them become real to us. A couple of years ago on this Remembrance Sunday, I read out some of the names of those from this parish who had lost their lives in the First World War. There's a memorial to them just to my right. Just that simple act of hearing their names made their sacrifice, their looking to the interests of others, more tangible. So what I want us to do together is to look at these two named individuals to see what can they teach us about living our lives for the interests of others. Before we do that, just a word about what we're looking at this morning, and this is where the pictures begin to come in. What we call Philippians, it says that on the title page in our Bibles, and now makes up a part of the New Testament, was originally a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He was in prison in Rome for being a Christian, and he was writing to the Christians who made up the church in Philippi. Now, you can see Timothy and Epaphroditus are with Paul in Rome. But we'll see as we read, Paul is planning to send them to Philippi, no doubt in part to deliver this letter that we're looking at this morning. So let's take a look. First of all, then, you can see on the outline Timothy, who is an example of the selfless service of others. The selfless service of others. Have a look back with me at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about him. So Paul has just said in verse 18 that he wants them to be glad about his situation, even though it's a tough situation. And now he's saying he's wanting to be glad about their situation by sending Timothy to them, so that presumably he can then get some news and bring that back to Paul. So something like this. Impossible thing for anybody to understand. Now, in sending Timothy to be the postman to deliver this letter, to get the news from Philippi, bring it back to Paul in Rome, Paul isn't sending any old person who was just lying around. Have a look at who he is in verse 20. Paul says of Timothy, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. And that's part of what we're celebrating today. People who have excelled in showing genuine concern for the welfare of others. It's what Corrie and Betsy Ten Boom, who we were thinking about earlier, did in risking their lives to hide a Jewish family from the Nazis during the Second World War. It's what every sailor or soldier or airman who has ever served in conflict is doing, showing genuine concern for the welfare of others. And it's what Timothy did for the Philippians. But for him, that kind of selfless service came not directly from his love for them, but from his faith in Jesus Christ. See, Paul doesn't say what we'd expect him to say in verse 21. If you look, he doesn't say, for everyone looks out for their own interests, but not Timothy. He's the kind of guy who always looks out for the interests of others. Paul doesn't say that. What he does say, verse 21, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Looking out for the interests of Jesus Christ resulted in Timothy having a genuine concern for the welfare of the Christians in Philippi. Why so? Why was that the case? Well, because among the interests of Jesus Christ is the welfare of the Christians in Philippi. Because Jesus is concerned for their welfare, Timothy is too. How do we know Jesus is concerned for the welfare of the Christians in Philippi? Have a look with me at the end of verse 5 of chapter 2, where Paul writes, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus' life and birth and death, which are being described for us there, were all for the welfare of others. He left the comfort and security of heaven to enter a broken and fallen world, to make the ultimate sacrifice, laying down his life on the cross. And he did all of that out of a genuine concern for the welfare of others, the spiritual and eternal welfare of others. Not just for these Christians in Philippi, but actually for all and any who put their trust in his birth and his life and his death for them. His whole existence, not just one brave act at the end of his life, his whole existence was in the selfless service of others. And Timothy was so taken with that, so taken with him, with his birth, his life, his death. He'd so placed his trust in all of that for the forgiveness of his sins and the gift of eternal life that he had come to share in his life Jesus' interests in and concern for the welfare of others. If you're here this morning, and like Timothy, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that is, you are one who is putting their trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life, then let me commend Timothy to you as a model of what that might look like in practice. The more taken up you are with Jesus Christ, the more your concern for the welfare of others will grow. The more you love him, the more you will love others. Living your life like that is a great way to live, in the selfless service of others. And if you're here this morning and perhaps you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, did you know, had you any idea just how interested Jesus Christ is in you? Just what lengths he went to out of a genuine concern for your spiritual and eternal welfare. He left the comfort and security of heaven. He entered a broken and fallen world. He went to the cross, making the ultimate sacrifice for you. As we remember today and give thanks to God for the selfless service and the ultimate sacrifice of others down through the ages, what will you do with, how will you respond to this man, Jesus Christ, who died for you? There's the first example of this virtue of not looking to your own interests, but the interests of others. Timothy and his selfless service of others. The second example Paul gives us in this letter is that of Epaphroditus risking his life on behalf of others. Risking his life on behalf of others. Have a look back with me in our passage, the bottom of page 1179, verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Now, Epaphroditus was in Rome with Paul, but as Paul says, he was originally from Philippi. He was their messenger. So let's sort that out. Epaphroditus started life in the church in Philippi. But when they heard, the Christians in Philippi, that Paul was in prison in Rome, they sent Epaphroditus. Among other things, And Paul tells us that once they'd done that, let me just find out what he tells them. Have a look at verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Here's why Paul felt it was necessary to send back Epaphroditus to Philippi, to reassure them that all was well with Epaphroditus. Here is an exceptional person, Epaphroditus, because at some point we find out that in coming to Rome to help Paul in prison, Epaphroditus got so ill that he nearly died. And I don't know if you noticed, his response to that, to nearly dying, is to be more worried about the people back home in Philippi who are worrying about him than to be worrying about himself. Here's someone who's exceptionally focused, not on his own interests, even at the point of death, but on the interests of others. I think it's also perhaps fair to say, when it comes to illness, Epaphroditus is not a typical man. Paul wants to send Epaphroditus back to Philippi to reassure them that he's made a full recovery. And when Epaphroditus gets there, Paul tells them how and why to organize the welcoming reception. Have a look at verse 29. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Today, Remembrance Sunday very much has the flavor of Epaphroditus' welcoming reception. Today we honor people like him who risk their lives on behalf of others, on behalf of us. People perhaps like this man. Let me tell you about Arthur Martin Leake. He was a young officer in the Royal Army Medical Corps in the First World War. And he was the first Briton ever to receive the Victoria Cross, Britain's highest award for gallantry, twice. His award citation read this: for most conspicuous bravery and devotion to duty throughout the campaign, especially during the period 29th of October to the 8th of November 1914, near Zonnebeck, in rescuing, while exposed to constant fire, a large number of the wounded who were lying close to the enemy's trenches. Or this person. Captain Lisa Head worked in bomb disposal in Afghanistan. On the 18th of April 2011, she was defusing an IED, an improvised explosive device, when it detonated. She was severely injured and immediately medically evacuated back to this country for treatment. But she died the next day from her injuries with her family at her bedside, age 29. Today, we honor people like this: Lisa Head, Arthur Martin Leake, who risked their lives, and in Lisa's case, lost her life on behalf of others. They were both soldiers fighting for a cause greater than themselves, fighting to keep others safe and risking their lives to do that. And here in our passage, Epaphroditus is described as a fellow soldier of the Apostle Paul's, not in a literal military sense, but in a Christian spiritual sense. Epaphroditus risked his life to help Paul because, like Paul, like Timothy, his companion, he had already given his life to a greater cause than staying alive. He'd given his life to the cause of looking out for the interests of others. Epaphroditus risked his life for others because he'd already given his life to Jesus Christ, given his life to the one who had died for him. And when you put it like that, that being a follower of Jesus Christ is giving your life to the one who has died for you, who wouldn't want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Again, for any Christians here this morning, will you allow Epaphroditus to be your model of how to give your life, risking your life for the work of Christ, giving back to Jesus Christ no less than he has given for you? In the words of one famous Christian who lived and died for the work of Christ, Jim Elliot wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, that is, his life, to gain that which he cannot lose, eternal life." And if you're, again, here this morning and you're not yet someone who'd call themselves a Christian, as you remember and honor those who have lived for the interests of others, those who have selflessly served others and risked and laid down their lives for others, will you today allow the life and the birth and the death of Jesus Christ to change you as it changed these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, to change how you live your life, how you see your life, what you do with your life? Will you allow him to make you more like the people that we have gathered here today to honor? Well, let's take a moment of quiet before I lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, each one of us admires people who selflessly serve others, who risk and lay down their lives for others, who live their lives for the interest of others. We admire and we honor that, and yet in our hearts we find that a challenging way to live our own lives. And so we pray that the example of these two men, but more than that, the birth, the life, the death of Jesus Christ would transform us, change our hearts and our minds to make us generous and selfless and thankful. And we ask this in his name. Amen.